Worship, it's good to worship the Lord. And thanks, Saints, very much for your prayers for our trip to Germany. It was good. Sorry for the technical issues today. I had another bag. I used to go to Germany and the adapter was in there. So Sister Aggie had to help with the computer. But we thank the Lord. All things work together for good and all is under control. So let's come straight to our thought. Brother Ngoni, he's at work this evening. Let's remember him in prayer. So he couldn't make it. And then Sister And Brother Alex, we're really sorry about Sister Anne losing her brother. May the Lord be with him. The funeral is on Friday, so let's keep them in prayer for that. Sister Anne with her brother, from Sister Anne from Ballyclare, from Belfast. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 139. I will share my screen here, if I can find it. Share. And then Psalm 139, we want to read from 17 to 18. Psalm 139, 17 to 18. It's a really wonderful thought that David has, and we know it very well, but it's good just to refresh our minds once again when he says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Now, it's really good in the Bible when you see, like we said in Germany, when you see the personal pronouns, when you see me, you put your name there and really try to make it personal to say, Lord, how precious are your thoughts unto me? How great is the sum of them? Verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. So the Lord has many thoughts towards us. Let's just pray. Father, please help us now as we approach your word. Would you pray for them that aren't here? Be with Brother Stevie. Would you pray for him? We pray for Sister Sharon as well, that you'll be with her, Lord. Brother Ngoni, his family. Sister Sarah, be with them all, Lord. We'd ask and pray a special way to be with Sister Anne and to comfort her. Lord, be with our other Sister Anne as well. You just watch over and be with her. But Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us. Thank you for this place. Thank you for this time. Now, Father, glorify your name in your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's be seated, saints. God bless you richly. So I thought you wanted to have a look at today, if we have a look on our keynote here, view, play slideshow. Hope that's working fine online. Continue to share. It's all a little bit different today, this one here. Oh, it's like the screen has really gone to a bad resolution for some reason. Let's see if we can get it back. Let's just stop that share and try again. Yeah. What is it doing? Yeah. Share. And we want that one. And then we'll just get rid of these windows here somehow. See, the resolution's really gone. Just do it like that. Okay, we'll do it like that. I hope it's okay online to everybody. If not, please post somebody a message, send us a message. But why don't you have a look at a thought today just called Answers in Disguise, where we want to speak about the mystery behind how God answers prayer, because I think it's an important one. I don't think there's anything or not many things as important in the life of a believer in believing that God hears and answers your prayer. I think it would be such a difficult thing. Imagine trying to be a believer and you don't have faith that God is hearing and answering your prayers. Or you think that God is not willing to answer your prayers, or that God is not interested in your prayers. That would be a very difficult situation to be in. Because the very hope that we have as believers is, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, whatever decisions we need to make, is that God hears and answers prayer. That he is personally interested and personally involved in our prayer life when we pray. That gives us the confidence to pray. And I think sometimes we fail to understand, and we all do at times, the divine process behind God answering prayer. How does he answer prayer? And also his purpose. What is the divine purpose behind these things? So let's try to bring ourselves to that thought. And I'm taking it, I called it also the unchangeable God, because we're taking it from that message, the message 1960-03-26, the unchangeable God. It's been a message that at the beginning, when Brother Ram speaks these principles, has helped me so many times through the years. And whenever I go through something, I go back to those same principles again. Whenever you just want to get yourself standing on the sure foundation, the solid rock of truth once again, it's just good to go back to certain principles once again. So I thought maybe just to go through them once again today. So Brahman says in this message, the many things and practically all things change. Time changes. People change. Weather changes. We know that well in Ireland. Weather changes. Nations change. But God is unchangeable. He does not change. He is the same all the time. Now, that is an anchor. That is a foundation. If we can grasp that fact that God doesn't change, and that God expressed himself in Christ. When Jesus wept over Jerusalem, when Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, when Jesus had compassion on people, Jesus is the very heart of God. So God has a compassionate heart. God has revealed that in his revelation in Jesus, is the heart of God is caring. He can be touched and moved by our needs, our infirmities, the situations that we're going through. So Brahman says that, he says, God is unchangeable. Therefore, when God is called on the scene to act, and that's prayer, calling God on the scene to act or to make a decision, the way he acts or the decision he makes is forever the same. He cannot change it because he's infinite, he's perfect. God cannot show favoritism to people. He cannot hear somebody's prayer this evening when the person sitting next to you prays and they pray sincerely from their heart and God is moved to come and meet the need of the person and you pray sincerely from your heart and God doesn't hear your prayer. It just wouldn't make any sense. That's not the nature of God. God's nature, God is unchangeable. If one person had a desire and a need, or firstly, a desire to meet God, and inside of their heart, they cried unto the Lord and the Lord came and met them. If you have a desire to meet God and you cry unto the Lord, you can expect him to come and meet you because God is unchanging. If Jonah was in the belly of a big fish, he was in a hopeless situation. He set his face towards where the temple was, remembered the prayer of Solomon, that Solomon said, if your people, Lord, are in trouble and they set their face towards this holy place, then hear from heaven, Lord, and deliver the people. And he had confidence in that. And even though he was in serious circumstances, he set his face the best that he knew towards the place where God had chosen to place his name, and God heard his prayer and God delivered him. And he says, salvation is of the Lord. What about you and I? Now, we're not looking, like Brahman says, to an earthly temple. We're not trusting in a prayer that Solomon prayed who backslid. We are looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and using his name in prayer, which is even more steadfast. So we can expect, no matter the circumstances, the situation, that if we set our face to seek him, it's the heart and nature of God to respond to the needs of people. It's just the nature of God. Even if a person's a sinner and they cry out to the Lord, God is moved by the sincerity, the desire, the faith that's inside somebody's heart to lift up their prayer to the Lord and ask him for help. God really, really does have a caring heart. So when God is called on the scene, he says, but God is perfect. His second decision will have to be like the first. If one person comes to the Lord seeking salvation and they pray and they say, Lord, I'm a sinful person. Please wash me of my sins. And God comes and justifies that person and grants them the peace of God and forgiveness of sin. Any person who reads of one person that God met like that has full confidence that if I just approach God the same way that person did, and I come with a sincere heart the way that person did, God is going to meet me in the same way because God is unchangeable. Right. He's not like us. I can be happy today and not happy tomorrow. I can give the children's extra money this week and maybe not extra money next week. But God is not like that. He's unchangeable in his essence. So the prophet says that his second decision will have to be like the first. I didn't put it on the slide, but he says, what I'm trying to do, it was going to be a healing service. He says, is to instill in you a faith in God. Because that's what it takes for healing or salvation. You must have faith in God. And God is no greater than his word. So that's why the word is such a powerful thing. Because no matter what situation I find myself in, if I can go and find my situation in the Word, I can expect that God is going to help me the way he helped that person if I approach him the same way. If I see David and he had a need and God delivered him, or if I see Moses and the confused in the backside of the desert and God came and met him there, it gives me confidence because of the nature, the unchanging nature of God, that if you're as moved by anybody else's situation, if I'm in the same situation, I come on the same grounds, I can absolutely expect God to come and minister to me. I can be certain of God that God is going to do something for me. I can. And it never fails because Proverbs says, a man is only as good as his word. God is only as good as his word. And we know the promises that his word says. That's why it says, if, you know, he speaks about if one man calls to God for salvation and God saves him, another person coming on the same grounds, God has to save that man as well. Yeah, and that's exactly his nature. So he says, if there's a sick man and he pleads to God for mercy, and God gives him mercy and healing on the basis of his faith, the next man that comes on the same grounds and asks the same questions, God has to act the same way. And look inside of your own life. If you ever set your face to seek the Lord and you met him, if you do the same thing again, you're going to meet him. You know, you get confidence in that inside of your life. You know that there's a certain approach. You just need to know the right approach to God. If you just humble yourself and put your sins under the blood, and you just come and you're depending on the Lord to help you in your situation, you get to the stage that you know that God is going to help you because he doesn't change. And if he helped you before, and he helped you before that, and he helped you before that, why is he not going to help you now? If you're coming on the same grounds, you're approaching him the same way. If Daniel set his face to seek the Lord his God with fasting and prayer, and God sent an angel from heaven to come and open up and reveal to him everything that he needed to know, even more than he needed to know. If you set your face to seek the Lord your God, God is going to come and open up spiritual things to you and well, and make things real to you and make spiritual things clear to you. It's just the nature of God. And that's why getting in the Word is so powerful. When I read Daniel chapter 9, whenever there's a crisis in my life, whenever I go back to Daniel chapter 9, because I love that chapter. And Daniel chapter 10, when Gabriel comes and says, from the time that you first set your heart to seek God, your prayer was heard and I was sent. Now, so the very moment that Daniel set his heart toward God, it was the nature of God to be moved. I need to help my son. He has a need. And then there was obviously 21 days before the answer came. But Daniel held on because he knew God is unchanging. That's why David came before Goliath. He had confidence, say, God doesn't change. If he delivered me from a lion, if he delivered me from a bear, he's going to deliver me from the Philistine. You know, he just took the same principles that had been, he had been time tested in his life, and he just applied them into his current situation. Or you can take somebody else's situation in the Bible and find your situation there. Then you say, okay, God doesn't change. If he met Hannah in the temple when she was desperate, he'll meet me when I'm desperate. He doesn't change. And that's why the Bible is such a wonderful book. So the prophecies, you see, we must make God real unchangeable. His meaning in your mind, in your attitude. Because he says the correct mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass.
Yes.
You've got to get it right first. You've got to know who you're approaching. Because you can't come before the Lord. If you're thinking today, God doesn't love me, God doesn't care for me, you're not going to pray a prayer of faith. Yeah, and that's just your thoughts. That's your understanding. But if you take a trip to Calvary today and you see Jesus hanging on the cross for you, that's the answer God gives whether he loves you or not. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So what's true? What he says or what your thoughts are? Our thoughts are fallible. Our thoughts change. We can't rely on our thoughts. That can't be the basis of anything. There's only one sure foundation, one rock that we can build upon, and that is God's word. That is the promises of God's word. The Bible says, when yet we were his enemies, Christ died for us. Hey, how much more now when you're trying to serve him, but you're just having a hard time? When yet you were dead in sin and trespass, God was rich in mercy towards you. How much more now when you're doing your best, but you're struggling? I mean, you've just got to see that God, he's not a man that he should repent. He's not a man that he changes his mind. He's unchangeable. And the prophet says we need to make God real unchangeable. He says every soul that comes to God has got to come on that basis. So we've got to get it clear through the word. Get our minds just in gear and our hearts righteous. Okay, Lord, it doesn't matter my circumstances. Doesn't matter my situation. My hope is not based on me. My hope is based on you. And no person, the Bible says, ever trusted in the Lord was ever put to shame. Have you ever been in a situation you trusted the Lord and you got embarrassed? The Bible says God will never allow anybody who trusted him to be embarrassed. He'll never let you down. He'll never forsake you. It's impossible. God cannot do it. It's the nature of God to be faithful. So then Abraham says, didn't Jesus say? Now listen to what Jesus says. Just the simple promises. He quotes this. Therefore, Jesus says, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. There's no doubts there. There's no ifs and buts and all these kind of things. Jesus is saying, whatsoever thing, when you pray, the real desire of your heart. So if you desire something this year, if you desire to say, Lord, I need revival in my life. And you're coming, he says, believe it. Because there's other people in the Bible in days gone by who sought for revival in their life, and God met them in revival. We can go through all church history. Whenever people sought God in prayer for revival, God gave them a revival. And he doesn't change. So why is he not going to revive you if you approach him and ask for a revival? I mean, God doesn't change. His essence doesn't change. He is the I am that I am. That's what he said to me. Not the I was. He's not the I will be, but I am. He never changed. He's always is. He's just the same in his essence. He's just the same in his character. He's just the same in his nature. And he revealed that in Jesus. Proverbs says, I used to think God was angry with me and that Jesus loved me until I came to realize Jesus is the very heart of God. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the expression in flesh of who God really is. God came to show us who he was in Jesus. And there was never a person who approached Jesus genuinely with an honest heart that he didn't minister to that person. Can you find one example in the Bible that someone came genuinely to the Lord and asked him something or sought something and Jesus didn't meet the need? It's not. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same tonight. So if we come genuinely before him, you're going to meet him. Absolutely. The Lord is going to answer your prayer. There's no doubt about that. What about the scripture? It says, what else did Jesus say? John 16. Verily, verily. Now, Jesus, that verily, verily, it's old English. You know what that means? Absolutely, absolutely. That's what Jesus is saying. Absolutely, absolutely, Jesus, and not me saying to you, Jesus says, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hey, that's not a, there's no doubts there. There's no ifs and buts and lots of conditions there. As long as you can ask it in his name. Obviously, you can't ask for the life of your enemies in his name. You can't ask to win the lotto in his name. Now, there's things you can't ask in his name. It's not according to his will. But if you're asking anything according to his will, anything you ask in the name of Jesus, coming with the right mental attitude, Jesus says he will give it to you. Wow. That's a serious one to think about. And the Bible goes on to say, and there's nobody that ever asked God anything but what God gave it to them if they came with an honest heart. Yeah, that's like I'm saying, it's so clear. But straight away we think of unanswered prayers. Straight away you'll think to say, okay, but I've got this desire. I've been praying about this and I've got a pressing issue, but God hasn't come into my situation. Or what about this person we prayed for? What about this person? You see, our mind will kick in there and say, but this is too simple here. What about this situation? What about that situation? What about me waiting so long for this? Well, that's how we need to understand what Brother Bram's going to take us a little bit further. But you can see the basis we've got to come on. God is unchanging. He doesn't change. So where is the problem now? Okay, so we need to really try to find out where the problem is. And he's going to tell us straight away where the problem is. Now, the thing of it is, God gives it sometimes in the way we're not expecting it. You see, this is like I'm saying, we've got to understand how God answers prayer. Because if you don't understand the process, how he answers prayer, you can end up praying. God answers your prayer and you'll think he didn't answer your prayer. Because the Jews have been waiting 2,000 years. They're still praying for the Messiah to come. He came 2,000 years ago. They cried out for a Messiah for thousands of years. And God gave them the Messiah. But he came in a way that they didn't expect. That wasn't the answer they were looking for. So they're still waiting for the answer. But God answered their prayer. Because God will be faithful to answer prayer. When people honestly and sincerely seek him, he's going to answer prayer. But sometimes God gives it in ways, in a way that we're not expecting it. And I think this is where the problem comes in prayer. The problem is not with the Lord. He says, but God always keeps his word. There's no way for God to tell you anything and lie about it and remain God. God can't make a promise and not keep it and still be God. Hey, even us to one another here, we'll never tell somebody something and intentionally lie to them if you believe us. We may not be able to fulfill it and we come back and say, I wanted to help you, but I couldn't in the end. But we'll never. What about with your children? Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father do for you? He's unchangeable. We sometimes want to do something, we can't do it. God isn't limited like that. When he desires to do something, he's omnipotent. Nothing can hold him back from doing it. So the prophet says, there's no way for God to lie. He cannot lie. He always keeps his word. He says, now the thing is with the people is the way that God appears. You see, the problem is with us now. Is the way that God comes to answer our prayers. What is the criteria? What is the important things? He says, many times we want to make an idol out of God. Why is he saying that? Because when they put up their idols, they put up their statues, they go before the idol. My child is sick, and they pray, and then you know, the idol, please heal my child. Their child dies. What do? They break the idol. Because the idol never, you see, the idol is supposed to bow down to them. The idol is just there to meet their needs. And the prophet says, that's what we try to do many times with God. We make an idol out of him. We ask God to do something, and then he must do it the way we ask it, or we'll say that he never answered. So we're saying, Lord, I want to get married. Yeah? And in your mind, you've made up your mind how you want to get married, who you want to get married to, and when you want to get married. So why are you asking God? No. You're making God an idol. You're wanting God to rubber stamp your desire, your plans. No, instead of coming before the Lord with an honest desire and saying, Lord, you see the desire of my heart. You see the need that I have, Lord. I'm giving this into your hands. Father, I'm trusting you that you have heard my prayer and that you will answer my prayer. Now I'm going to stand back and watch and wait to see when and how you're going to do it. It's a totally different way of approaching things. He says, you see, when you make God into an idol, and then we give him the terms and conditions of how he must answer our prayer, and then he doesn't do it according to the way we want, then we say God didn't answer. What does he say? When we do that, we weaken our faith in God. If you don't understand how God works, how God, what is his criteria for answering prayer? What is his motive? What is his objective in answering prayer? It's very easy to weaken your faith. Because you say, but I asked the Lord about this for a long time and nothing's changed inside of my life. Either it weakens your faith in God or it weakens faith in your prayer. Or you start thinking, maybe God doesn't love me or something like that. You see, it really becomes fertile grounds for the enemy to come in at a time like that. He comes in. He says, we weaken our faith in God and we weaken our testimony when we do not take him at his word. That's the thing. And honestly, the prophet is giving such a wonderful principle. It's so helpful to me through the years, this one here. Because so many times you're looking at something and saying, Lord, I need you to answer this now. And the Lord doesn't answer it there now. Then you're thinking, but what's wrong with me? Maybe I don't have faith. Or you're thinking, but hey, have I got any sin inside of my life? Because sometimes sin separates you from God in prayer. Yeah, and then the devil can come in as well and say, God doesn't really hear your prayers. God doesn't care for you. How many times did you cry to him for that and he never answered that prayer? It's like that uncertainty starts coming. And we don't want uncertainty in our Christian lives. Because the Bible is certain. God's word is certain. God is unchangeable. Yeah. It's this, it's a certain sound, the word. We don't need uncertainty to be coming in. So he says, God always answers. No one ever asks. He said, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given unto you. There's no ifs and buts there. Jesus said, if you are, and the Amplified Bible is very good. It says, ask and keep on asking. Yeah. Because sometimes you're going to keep, Jesus said about the unjust judge, sometimes you're going to have to keep on knocking. Like Elijah, when he prayed 7 times for terrain. Now, sometimes you pray, you know God's going to answer, but he wants you to pray again. And you come to then finally, that's it. Prayer has gone through. Doesn't mean sometimes you get on the first time you pray. But you have a promise. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. You shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What did Jesus say? For everyone that asks receives. Jesus is saying that. Everyone who asks receives. And he that seeks finds, and he that knocks, it shall be opened unto him. That's a great, great thing that the Lord is doing. He says, but now that's the only way. Now the prophet's going to speak about the only way that I've always found that I can get anything from God is take him at his word and believe it the way he sends it. So you're not doubting anyway that God's going to answer the prayer. You're just saying, okay, Lord, how are you going to answer the prayer? Lord, help me to be spiritual. Help me to be sensitive. Help me to watch now. Because I know you're going to answer because you are good. I know you're going to answer because you are God and you change not. I know you're going to answer because you're touched by the feelings of your people. I know you're going to answer because you said, whatsoever thing you desire, if you ask in your name, you shall receive it. And Jesus, you said, ask and it shall be given unto you. And I'm asking in your name, Lord. I don't believe I'm out of your will. I'm asking, Lord, I'm asking this in the name of Jesus. And it says, whatsoever you ask in my name, my Father will do it for you. So you take him at his word. But the prophet says, that's the only way. The prophet said, that's the only way I can get anything from God. I come and I pray to him, and then I believe it the way that he sends it. He just knew God's going to answer. Where does the problem come in? God answers in many ways. He answers in peculiar ways and times, and everything is odd. It's odd to us, but it's not odd to God. You know, so there's a mystery behind this. Why does God sometimes answer in peculiar ways? Why does he answer in peculiar times? Why does he sometimes delay an answer until a certain time? And, you know, why does he do that? Can we understand his heart enough, who he is enough to understand the mystery behind prayer? Because once you understand that mystery behind prayer, it sure makes a lot of sense to things. That's what we just wanted to look at a little bit this evening. So he says, God answers in many ways. He answers in peculiar ways. That's strange ways. Peculiar times. Hey, and everything is odd. Now the key point here, when we pray, never pray to change the mind of God. Because you don't need to change God's mind. We're the ones who need the changing of the mind. We need to tune into where he is. We need to understand his mind when we're seeking him for something. And we need to understand that basis, because Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Yes.
The Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So you have your thoughts, I have my thoughts. Lord, if you don't answer here, I'm in a lot of trouble. If you don't give me this before this date, oh, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to survive. That's your thoughts. God says, I'm not interested in your thoughts. Because my thoughts are the only one that count. I know the situation best. You see, in our thoughts, especially when we're in a crisis, when we're in trouble, we're just seeing the current situation. All we want is to be out of that situation. But the Lord's not looking at the situation like that. The Lord's looking at the big picture. He's looking at Joseph in prison and saying, oh, Father, please deliver me. I want to be out of this prison. And the Lord's hearing his prayers and saying, son, I'm hearing your prayers. Your prayers are moving me. I'm going to get you out of here. But if I take you out now, imagine if Joseph first, when he first gets to Egypt, gets to Potiphar's house. He prays, Lord, I'm so much missing my father. Please deliver me. I want to go back and see my father once again. Yeah. And then the Lord says, okay, go back. Boom. They all would have perished in the drought. So God heard his prayers, but God knew the best time and the best way to answer that prayer to get the maximum benefit so that Joseph and Jacob and his sons would know the glory of God and that, you know, God would deliver the people. So every single prayer Joseph was praying when he was weeping there in his bedchamber in Potiphar's house saying, Lord, this is hard for me. I don't want to be in this situation. You just come, the presence of God would come and say, I've heard your prayer. Leave it in my hands. I'm working out the answer. But you need to leave it with me because I know the right time to answer. I know the right way to answer. I know why I put you in this situation. Because friends, the mind of God, the motive behind anything that we pray about or that God we're seeking him for, his criteria in answering prayer is twofold. Number one, to maximize his glory. And number two, to maximize it for our good. The Lord wants us to learn. The Lord wants us to know him better. The Lord wants that experience. So sometimes when you come and you just want to straight away get out of your situation, the Lord said, that's not the best thing for you. You need to stay in that situation a little bit. I'm working out the answer, but in order for this to work for my glory, so I can be glorified, make myself more real, so that you can have a testimony that you'll never forget. In order for this to work out for your good and for my glory, I can't answer you just now. I'm hearing your prayer. I'm in the process of bringing it about, but I'm going to answer you at the time that's best. I'm going to answer at the time that brings out the most. Now, there are certain times God answers us before we ask him because he knows that's the best. There's certain times you pray. We were listening about George Mueller, you know, the great apostle of faith, the man in Germany with the orphanages, how in his prayer book, he had over 50,000 prayers answered. He says, I've recorded in my prayer diary, because he'd always write whenever he prayed and he'd write the date when the Lord answered. He said, I've had over 50,000 recorded prayers answered, including over 5,000 on the very day that I prayed them. You know, so there's times God knows you need it now. Yeah, you need deliverance now. You need, you know, he knows that best. But there's certain times situations come and you're praying about it and you're praying about it. You're being sincere. You've searched your heart. You put everything under the blood. You don't have any rebellion or stubbornness inside of your life. And that it seems the vision tarries, that it is a delay. That's the difficult situation now. But that's the time you've got to take him at his word, to trust his nature and say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but I know it's going to work for my good. I know this is the best. Because Abraham's praying 25 years, Lord, where's my son? The Lord said, Abraham, the best thing for you, because all generations from now are going to be blessed because you waited 25 years for a son. I'm going to push you to an extreme so you can have a testimony that's going to help a lot of other people down the way. Yeah, so there's certain times those kind of things happen, but there's always a divine motive and objective behind it. God's weighing things up and he's, look, I could answer you now. That's okay, but it's not going to do much good for anybody. But if you can just hold on and let me just build the story up a little bit more and build up the condition, then I answer, then you'll see that was the best. Then you, and when God answers in his time, we always said, that was the best, Lord. I thought maybe you had forgotten, but you hadn't forgotten. I remember getting married later on in my life. Yeah, and I remember that day when I was driving in the car, going to the airport, I was going across to Nottingham, Gitana and I just like got engaged in that. And I was driving that morning and I thought, God, you always had it under control. Yeah? You always had it under control. You knew the time, you knew the way. But God always answers every prayer that was prayed, every desire, he stored it up. But he knew the best way. He knew the best time. He knew how to maximize the benefit to you and maximize the glory to him so that he would be more real, so you'd continue to trust in him. That's the overriding motive. God's not looking at your anguish. That's not the most important thing, or your desperation. That's not the most important thing. He says he'll never put on you more than you're able to bear. He'll never do that. But the most important thing he wants is character in you, is to be more real to you. is to reveal himself in your situation. And sometimes he needs to build things up. You want the answer now. He's here. He says, I know, I can hear. I promise if you ask, you'll receive. But leave it in my hands because I know the best time to give it to you. I know the right time to give it to you because my thoughts and yours are not the same. My thoughts are heavenly thoughts. My thoughts are perfect thoughts. My thoughts, I can see the big picture. Joseph, I can see you weeping in prison. That's okay. But I can see there's Jacob and sons. There's coming a big drought. Yeah, I need you to stay there a little bit longer. Pharaoh's not yet ready. He doesn't yet need you. The conditions haven't yet come to the place, but I'm hearing your prayers. And Joseph could feel the Lord is with me. And then at the Lord's appointed time, there came the answer to all of his prayer. And then Joseph stood and said, God, you are great. You know better than me. If you'd have answered my prayer in Potiphar's house and just set me free, I would have run back to my father's house. We never would have read of Joseph in the Bible. Because Joseph had to be a type of Christ. He had to go through all the things like Jesus did. You know, but we didn't understand that. So this is the book of life. And there's your name inside of the book of life. There's all of God's thoughts that he thinks towards you. All of his plans and all of his purposes and all of his desires, all the experiences he wants to give, all the people he wants you to meet, all the fruit he wants to bring from your life, all the revelation he wants to give you, yeah? All the circumstance he wants to take you through. It's personal before you came. He wrote it all in his book. All his thoughts towards you, he recorded them in his book. And those thoughts will never change. And those are caring thoughts and they're precious thoughts. That's why David said, Lord, your thoughts are so great towards me. How precious are your thoughts to me? They're more than the sand on the seashore. He says, your thoughts are so great towards me. Yeah. So God has a very personal divine purpose and a very personal divine process in what you're going through. There's a purpose for what you're going through. He has a personal plan in that. He has a personal design. He wouldn't be allowing you to go through that if he didn't personally have something good for you in that. You're in the process of it. We haven't seen the end of it yet. If you wait for the end, you're going to see that this was the best way. This was the best thing. And he's hearing your prayers. And he says, I hear your prayer. Yes, I'm already preparing the answer for you. The answer's on its way. But you've got to get certain things to come together before I can answer. Because we need to, you and me in this, we need to get the most out of this. Because this is important for you. There's certain times, and that's when it seems God is delaying in prayer. He's not delaying. Everything's working, moving behind the scenes. And his purpose and his process, God's way of answering prayer. Yeah. Sometimes he can answer in the most unusual kind of ways. We'll see that when the prophet speaks about it. But look what Jeremiah said. I like this from another version, from Jeremiah 29. I alone know the plans I have for you. No one else understands God's plans for us, only him. To bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. He says, I know my thoughts I have towards you. I know my plans. I want to bring about the future you are hoping for as a believer. Now, the deep inside of you, the deep walk you want with me, the deep spiritual prosperity you want with me. You want my favor in your life. He says, I know the purpose. I know the plans I have for you. And the King James says to give you an expected end. You know, that the very things that you're expecting, say, but Lord, I want to be delivered from this sickness. Or Lord, I want to be delivered from this like prison like Joseph. Or Lord, I desire whatever that it is you desire. And the Lord says, I know your expected end and I know how to get you there. And I've heard your prayer because you can't ask and it not be given to you. You cannot seek and you don't find. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it for you, but he's going to do it around in his way. He's going to follow the divine process because his thoughts are so high. So instead of us staying down there and thinking, oh, something's wrong, we should be saying, Lord, raise me up into the divine frequency. Lord, help me to understand your thoughts behind this, Lord. What is it that you desire from me at this time? Instead of trying to bring God down to our thoughts, We need to come up and that's when you get in the word and you start seeing that, oh, hey, like we're speaking in Germany, David, 13 years from when he was anointed to the time he came to the throne. God gave him the promise, but it took 13 years before he actually saw the fulfillment of that promise. That wasn't easy. There were many prayers he prayed in the middle, but David never doubted what God promised me he's going to do. The same as Abraham. He never doubted. He never staggered at unbelief. He said, this is taking a lot longer than I thought. I don't understand. I can see my wife's getting older and older day by day. I can see the gray hairs. I can see her stooping over. But the promise is, he started to think. So when God answers, it's going to be even a greater testimony than it was. Yeah, he could really understand, started looking at the way that the Lord wanted him to look. There's Psalm 139. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. His thoughts are precious. He wants to give you an expected end. How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Hey, that's a good thing to meditate upon. Instead of looking at our circumstances, instead of looking at our unfulfilled dreams and our unfulfilled desires, which haven't yet been fulfilled, a good thing to think of is, Lord, your thoughts towards me have always been good. When I was dead in sin and trespasses, you had good thoughts towards me. Lord, when you sent a prophet before I was born and stored up the food for the age, your thoughts towards me were good. And you and I got it. God already had made a provision for us, a mountain of bread, according to the vision. God had already stored everything up that you were going to need before you and I got here. And there's so many things, if you look in your life and see the preciousness of the Lord's, the friends that he gives you. Yeah. Like we're saying, the family he gives you, the family of God that he puts you in. God's thoughts towards you. Has God ever had evil thoughts towards you? He never has. So whatever you're going through now, whatever you're praying for now, he's got good thoughts. His thoughts are good, but the way he's going to unfold those thoughts, that's up to him. Because he knows the best way to unfold these things. Take Brother Krauss. Brother Plowman Krauss, I just thought of him again today when I was thinking on this. He has a man that's sick. He gets very sick. And he prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be healed. But the problem is, he had his way that he wanted to be healed. He said, I'm going to go to Oral Roberts, and Oral Roberts will pray and I'll be well. And he goes to Oral Roberts, he prays for him, he feels a little bit better. 2 days later, he's sick again. Very sick. Goes back to Brother Oral, prays for him again, he's sick again after a few days. Then he says, no problem, I'll go to Brother Branham. You see his thoughts. I'll go to Brother Branham. He'll pray for me. He'll stand before the Lord. He'll tell me what it is inside of my life. Professor stood before the Lord for 45 minutes. He says, it never happened before. I got myself in that channel and God was silent. You see, because God had better thoughts. Because if Brother Krauss had just come to Oral Roberts, been prayed for, not even knowing what he was sick of, and been healed, he would have gone and told his wife maybe, hey, the Lord healed me, and told some of his friends. It wouldn't have been a powerful testimony. If it had gone to Brother Branham, been healed, none of us would have ever heard of Plowman Krauss. None of us. But Brother Branham prayed, and he wasn't healed. So now he went away. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to go to the doctor. But God has different ways of answering our prayers. You see. And now he started to realize that, okay, Lord, this isn't where I wanted to go, but this seems the way that you want me to go on this. And he went to the doctors now. And then the doctor said, there's a very small chance of an operation that you're going to survive. He says, that's the only thing I can do. I can is take that chance. So before they put him under anesthetic, he worshiped the Lord. He says, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I put my life into your hands. When he woke up, the hospital room was full of the glory of God. And God heard all of his prayers. But God came and answered the prayer in a way now that we are blessed up to today because of the testimony of Brother Krauss.
Wow.
Can you see God's thoughts? Oh, why is it in our thoughts? But he was getting all worked up, the prophets, and he was starting to like panic because God wasn't answering the way that he thought he should answer. He should have just stepped back, and it's not easy to do. Like I said, we're in the midst of battle. You just want to be out of that situation. But if you could have just rested and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to put the steering wheel back into your hands. You know the right way to get me there. Not my will, not my thoughts, but let your will be done. If I have to go by the way of the doctors, let me go by the way of the doctors. And God knew how to bring the best out of that. He had allowed that sickness to come for two things. Number one, so that Brother Kraus would know the Lord better. And number two, so God would be glorified in the midst of that situation. It became a real test until even the prophet, when he heard that testimony, was so moved by it. He speaks of that testimony many, many times. So you can see sometimes the Lord allows things to chug a bit because he wants it to not just be an ordinary something that you could just say, maybe Brother Cross, if you went to Oral Roberts, you prayed for me as healed, Brother Cross, oh, maybe I was going to get better anyhow. He said, it can be like it. So the Lord brought it to a situation that there was no way this man was going to get better. But God had heard every one of his prayers, and God was answering every one of his prayers. Because he said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. And he came with the right attitude, the right desire. But the only problem is, God sometimes answers in peculiar ways. Yeah. Peculiar times, the prophet says. And everything is odd. He says, that's what stumbles us. And if you're not careful, we can be like Brother Krauss. You start losing faith in your own walk with God. You start saying, but Lord, I don't understand this. Why is it you didn't heal me when Brother Oral prayed for me? Is there something wrong with my faith? There was nothing wrong with his faith. When Brother Branham prayed for me and I wasn't healed, Lord, is there something wrong? No, he says, Brother says, Satan wants to come in and try to make you nervous and make you think something is going wrong. There's nothing wrong. God is unchangeable. You've come before him. You've put your desire before him. You've put your need before him. You've seen this is scriptural, what I'm asking for, Lord. I'm praying it for your glory. Then leave it, like the prophet says, in his hands to bring it about the best way that he wants to bring it about. And it'll never, never fail. Let's finish off. The prophet goes on to say, let's take, for instance, Moses. He goes and takes Moses as an example. Think of Moses. Moses, when he was young, when he came of age, got to 40 years of age, he was praying, Lord. Imagine all the children of Israel are praying in the mud pits. They're groaning. In fact, I think I'll put the scripture here. I'll skip to the scripture. It came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and the cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. He heard every one of their prayers. But the way that he answered them was very unusual. Yeah, it was very unusual. Because they were, like Moses comes to of age, he thinks, the prophet actually says it in this message. He says about Moses, I don't know if I put it there. No, I didn't write and put it there. But he says, Moses, he thought, Lord, you'll make me a military general. He said, Lord, I'm praying. Deliver your people. And maybe the people at that time as well, they knew Moses is in the palace. Our time for deliverance is drawing near. Yeah, God has heard our prayers. Moses is number two in Egypt. You see our thoughts. And the Lord says, no, that's not it. The conditions are not yet right for me to answer your prayer. I'm hearing your prayers. I'm hearing your groans. I'm seeing your sighs. I see your afflictions. Like he said to the Smyrna in church age, I know your afflictions. I know your tribulations. But God says, leave it in my hands because I know the best way to deliver you people. They might have been waiting to say, let Moses raise a coup. Maybe he'll bring all those armies he took to Ethiopia and he'll come and conquer Pharaoh and he'll set us free. Who would have got the glory? Moses would have got the glory. So the Lord said, carry on, Moses. And Moses said, I know what God's going to do. God's going to deliver the people at my hand. And he kills an Egyptian. And he buries him in the sand. Dry as anything. Nothing comes from that. Moses in fear runs. Imagine Moses, how he almost must have lost his faith at that time. And the devil would have been coming to him to say, but you were sincere. You prayed. Why didn't God answer your prayer? Because Moses was trying to do it according to his thoughts. And the Lord says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. So the Lord now prepares Moses 40 years in the wilderness. The people are groaning and crying. God hasn't forgotten his people. But the Lord says, what's best for you and what's best for me is the way that I'm going to answer. And here comes Moses and he meets the burning bush. Yeah. And the prophet says it in that message. And Moses said, but Lord, why did you come now? I'm not a military man anymore. And the Lord says, Moses, what is in your hand? He says, a stick. He says, that's what we're going to use to deliver the people. You see, God's way of answering was so unusual. Sending an old man. The prophet says, it was an unexpected time. An 80-year-old man. An unexpected place, the backside of the desert. An unexpected way. You're going to use that rod in your hand. We're still speaking about it up to today, the answer to that prayer. How the plagues came, and then God opened the Red Sea. And then, you know, think of how God was glorified and revealed himself. If he had answered Moses' little selfish prayer in the beginning, none of those things would have been of any benefit or help to us. So the Lord says, I know the best time to answer. I know the best way to answer. And when I answer, and when you see the way that I'm going to answer, you're going to agree with me. You're going to say, but Lord, your thoughts are so wonderful towards us. But before he answers, many times, that testing time, that's when our thoughts want to start coming in. Our thoughts want to come and you start to think, buddy, does the Lord really love me? Has God forgotten about me? Why does this have to be like this? The best thing is draw near to the Lord because his thoughts are good. Because his nature is good. His desire for you is good. He's putting you through that situation. If you just trust him, let it run its course. You will see that his time was the best time and his way was the best way. And he'll do something in that situation that the prophet says he'll do something for you that all the devils in hell will never be able to take away from you. That will become a stepping stone in your spiritual life. That'll become the stone which you anoint and you set up. It'll become a time-tested memorial. And then you'll say, but Lord, forgive me, Lord. I started to get impatient. Forgive me, Lord. I started to wonder about your ways and your time. But your times are good and your ways are perfect. So in any situation, like I said, there's so many prayers God answers straight away. There's so many prayers we don't even have to pray for God to answer because he knows we have a need. But there's those specific circumstances and times, like the prophet speaking of here. He says, when you're approaching God for anything, this is the only way I know how to get things from God. He says, I come with an honest heart. I make my need known. Then I step back and say, okay, Lord, how are you going to answer this? You see, you're not doubting that he's going to answer because God cannot fail. He's unchangeable. His nature is unchangeable. He's proved his compassion to us time and time again. But now we need to understand his mind, need to understand his process, need to understand his purpose. That sometimes it's going to come in an unusual way. That's why in the other message he calls it the unchangeable God working in an unexpected way. You know, when he preaches the same thing, working in a way that we don't understand. We're listening to that song of Don Moen in the car. God will make a way where there seems no way. He works in ways we cannot see, but he will make a way for me. Yeah, Moses cries out to the Lord, Lord, there's no water for the people. The waters are bitter. The Lord says, cut down the tree and throw it into the waters. Boom, the waters become sweet. It's like, hey, who's ever going to think? You know, cut down a tree and throw it into the water. God has the solution. But if you're going to be like Naaman, and we're going to come to the Lord, and we have a need, and the Lord's going to open the way for us, and we come, and then the prophet's going to send his servant and say, go dip in the river seven times. And they're going to say, what? That's not the way that I wanted God to answer my prayer. I thought the prophet will come out and smite the place and call upon his God. And he goes away about to forsake his own mercies. Because our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways, he had to humble himself, get off his high horse. And that other brother who was with him said, my Lord, if he asked you to do something complicated, you would have done it. But he's asking you to do something very simple. And that was God's way, just to go dip himself seven times in the dirty river Jordan. And he came out and his skin was like a baby. And then he came and he worshiped the Lord. And he had learned a lesson that God knows what he's doing. And God knows the best way to do things. So the topic we're speaking about there, what was our thought right from the beginning is the prophet, he continues on in the message. I think it's the next quote. He says, that's the way he answers our prayers. in the way that he thinks is best. And his way is always right. It may come disguised. Answers in disguise. It may come disguised. It may come in another way, a roundabout way. But no matter what way it comes, if we have asked, we shall receive. God said so, and that settles it forever, if God says so. Now, when you get to taking God like that and believing it, he says, then you're doing well. You're now on the right course. So let's stand, saints. Let's finish up there. He knows what he's doing. Amen. Let's bow our heads and just ask the Lord to help us now. Maybe you have a need before the Lord at this time. Maybe your hands have been getting heavy and are getting weary. Remember Moses on top of the mountain when he was raising his hands and Israel was winning the victory, and then he started to get tired and his arms started coming down, and then the enemy started to win. Maybe you've been waiting on the Lord and looking to the Lord, but it's taken longer than you thought, or you're just starting to get weary. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as an eagle. Just come back to his word. Just find your situation in his word. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. You'll find testimonies similar to the situation you're going through in the message. And you'll find other people that were in your situation, how the Lord ministered to them. And then you just take in that God, you are unchanging in your essence. You're unchanging in your ways. You never change. You are the Lord and you change not. So, Lord, I'm putting my faith, I put my trust in you. You know the way, but I know you're going to take me through. You know the way, I know you're going to open the Red Sea. But Lord, I'm leaving it in your hands. I'm putting my trust in you once again today. I'm saying, get thee behind me, Satan. If Satan's been whispering in your ear, say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because God will make a way, even when there seems to be no way. The song says, are there any mountains that seem, any rivers that seem uncrossable? God specializes in things we can't do. But leave it to him, because he knows how to bring the best. He knows how to bring out the glory. He knows how to bring out the virtue. He knows how to bring out the testimony. He knows how to bring out that something that glorifies his name from every situation. And that's the best way. So we leave it in his hands. Father, as we look to you this evening, help us, Lord, just to rest in you, Lord. Help us to trust in you. Father, Lord, even in our prayer to come unto thee, you said, ask, keep on asking. It shall be given unto you, Lord, because it's good. We feel good inside of ourselves when we come and we speak unto you about the things that you're going through. But Father, the thing that we desire the most is the mind of Christ, is that you'd help us, Lord, to rise up above, Lord, our human thoughts and our human understanding, and bring us once again into the realm of revelation, Lord, and open your word unto us, Lord. Help us to find ourselves in your word. Help us to see ourselves in the pages of the Bible, Lord, in the testimonies in your message that you've sent. Because, Lord, it gives us, Lord, such an assuredness, Lord, that, Father, if you did it for others, surely you'll do it for me. Because it's no secret what God shall do. If you did it for others, you'll do it for us. And Father, you've done so many things for us. And Father, we know that your thoughts towards us are only good. So bless your people, Lord. Minister grace unto us, Lord. Quicken us unto prayer. Even as we go to pray on Friday, we pray. Bless your people online, wherever they would be. Meet their needs to pray for Sister Anne. You comfort her at this time, Lord. You grant her grace, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. We thank you for Brother Godwin's baby, Lord. May you bless them, Lord. We pray. We thank you for all these things. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just as we hand over to Brother James, prayer meeting on Friday. There's some sisters from America visiting. They're going to be in Northern Ireland from tomorrow up to Saturday morning. They were in touch. They wanted just a bit of fellowship, and they're staying up on the North Coast. So I said, look, maybe we could arrange the prayer meeting up their side somewhere. So Sister Donna very kindly offered her house. So the prayer meeting will be at Sister Donna's on Friday. Now, Sister Donna's house is Ballymena. Anybody who's watched the news knows what's happening in Ballymena. Now, there's some riots and protests, but Sister Donna's house is right out of town to the north. You don't have to go into Ballymena at all to get to her house. You just use the motorway, go past Ballymena. I'll send the link, the coordinates,
And you're just going off the motorway into the countryside and she's fine. So it should be fine, but make sure you don't go through Ballymena. Maybe it'll be better by Friday. But I spoke to her today and she said, look, it's fine out where we are. I mean, she's well out of town. There's no issues where she is. So let's meet there on Friday. We'll be together with her sisters from America. And may the Lord bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Brother James, we hand over to you.
A-flat. Let's sing 187. A-flat. Da bo shud la esina sa chezai shud ye tu che my sorrow into bliss. Oh, raise him and plan to bring me back. How wonderful is love, I, such love, such love, such wondrous love, such love. Such wondrous, oh, that you love, such is I. How wonderful is love, like thee, oh, that Christ should join. So freely does he, although he made his death on Calvary, he did not use mankind on so love him. The love divine that runs through. Oh, yes, such love, such love, such wondrous, such love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love, yes, such is I. How wonderful is love, I give. Oh Lord, that full rain will put out cast such is the Father, the blood, Savior bled and died. Him shameful, he went less left to. Oh, long and great deep, with such love, such love, such wondrous. Oh, such love, such love. Such wondrous, oh, that God should love. Such is I, how wonderful is love, I did. Oh, yes, and now he takes me to his son. He asks me not to feel a servant's blessed, far off country, wandering so large. rupe na isam so o such love such love such wondrous o such love such love such wondrous o that God should love us enough such is our how wonderful is love thy creature.
Let's finish off with 206 past me not. It's A flat still. Pass me not, O Saint, dear Lord, give me my heart. Oh, cry, yes, while on earth thou hast loved, I, O Lord, do not pass me by. My Lord in sin, O Lord, say, Alleluia, hear my heart, O ye one, while on others thou art called holy, O Lord, do not pass me by, O Lord, let me at thy throne of mercy. Oh, yes, my sweet, my Lord, in deep country. Dear Lord, help my unbelief. Oh, yes, my Lord, and sing. Alleluia, sing. Oh, Lord, hear my heart. O Lord, my Lord, have us thou art Lord. O my Lord, don't pass me by. O Lord, trusting only in thy merit. Oh, yes, would I sing thy faith? Oh, Lord, hear my wounded broken spirit. Dear Lord, send me by. Oh, yes, my Lord, and sing. Oh, Lord, sing. Hallelujah, hear my humble cry. Dear Lord, my Lord, have us our hope. Holy, O Lord, you not pass me by. O Lord, thou the spring of all my cup, comfort, yes, more than life to be. Oh, my Lord,
Me vayonet disav ai ilod bin heaven pa Lord see my Lord see Hallelujah, my Lord, to me.
That was sweet.